Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Per Björklund, and I'm here to talk to you about how we use the desktop bridge to bring Kodi into the Windows Store. And because I wasn't that good at reading instructions, we skip over the introduction slide, and we jump right into, well, this is Kodi. It's an open source media center. We handle video, music, pictures, live TV, and it's also an upcoming feature where we'll handle retro gaming, so emulators of all sorts. Let's see. Oh, so this is the library view. We keep track of watch. You get rich information about the movies you have in your library, and some info in the bottom here. We also support add-ons, so you can create a lot of things yourself, like a weather view if you'd like to display that at home. So that's the short introduction. So how did we use Desktop Bridge then? And was it difficult to use? Well, the short answer, not very hard, but we'll start with a bit of history for the project to set the stage for this. The project started on the original Xbox back in 2002. And it went through a few names, XP Player, which then became Xbox Media Player, which became Xbox Media Center, and now we're called Kodi, but we'll skip over that. So in 2007, well, HD video was being more and more popular. We started to go multi-platform, Linux, Windows, OS X mainly. And in late 2008, that work was finished. So now we're on those platforms, Android and iOS as well. Coming from the original Xbox, getting the chance to go towards a UVP and maybe return to the Xbox was quite interesting to us. So the work we did, we didn't make use of the desktop app converter that where you can take your installer and it will try to figure out what it does and then package it up. We did it manually using the tool in our build steps. We didn't have to do that many changes to our code base, actually. There were just a few minor changes required to the main code base. But one issue we actually ran into was with our usage of setDLL directory. That's not supported in the desktop bridge. So we had to work around that, and we had recently moved towards using that. So we opted to just drop all of our DLL files in next to the executable, keep it a simple flat structure. And that's about it. We offer all features in Desktop Bridge, so we do binary add-ons, Python add-ons. There's no missing features. To promote this, we added a download link to our website to direct users to the store version. It's been quite popular, I would say. The result since we launched is one of the top 10 most popular apps in the Windows Store. We have around 1.6 million active users or user sessions, I think. We're seeing quite good usage numbers and over a billion user minutes in total. So it's been quite heavily used by those that have installed it. Some of the benefits we get, we don't have an auto update system ourselves, so we get that through the store. which is very nice. We get quite nice usage metrics. We can see installs, device types, and things like that. So we get some analytics for free. Also, we get the automated crash reporting, which is very useful in a large, complex application. There are some crashes going on. So we aren't satisfied just using the desktop bridge, so now we want to go full UVP. And we are working with Microsoft on this one and get some help. And these are the results so far. We've ported about 25 third-party libraries that we use out of, I think we make use of 40 or 50 in total, but a lot of them were already available using VC package. Our add-ons use Python 2.7, so that's in progress being ported to UVP. It works, but there's a few bugs and crashes, as you would expect. We have replaced or currently stubbed out about 800 old API calls that have been replaced or needs to be replaced since they're not available anymore. Since we've been slow to actually update to the Unicode versions of the Win32 API, we made sure to get that done now, finally, 15 years too late or so. And we still want to keep our Win32 version. So the UVP version is just another build target for us, like Android or Linux or OS X would be. So we will keep the old Win32 version available through our website and next to the UVP. We had to update a bit of our rendering code and the DirectX code to make use of the new bits that we get through the store or through UVP. Let's see. Right, demo time. So we're all Windows developers here, I guess, or use Windows in some form or another. So let's see, what happens, what can you do if you're sitting in the couch, your remote is far away in some horrible to reach place? Well, let's have a look at PowerShell. Right, is the text readable? Good. So we have a fairly rich REST or JSON RPC API, which you can call. So here is a simple example where we call the API, ask for our movie library, and then we sort that based on the play count, and we get a grid view. So let's try running that. And we'll enter some credentials. And there's a movie library. And we can see it's sorted on play count, and Big Buck Bunny seems to be quite popular. But that doesn't solve our issue. We still need to actually make Cody do something. So let's go back. We'll go to the next demo. So here we take the movie ID for, in this case, Big Buck Bunny, which is 4, and we add that to the playlist. And then we tell the playlist, or we tell Cody to play that playlist for us. So let's see what happens. We'll run this. Need to enter credentials again. We don't get much of a response, but there we have Big Buck Bunny playing. So this is, well, we use this for remote apps for your phone, but there's a lot of possibilities that you can build on yourself with this. So let's see. Oh, right. Next demo. We'll show off how to build a Python add-on and how simple it can be to actually extend Kodi for our usage. So we'll start with the showing off the add-on so we get an idea of what it does, and then we'll go into the code. So here we have the example video plugin, and if we launch that, we have a few categories. So let's maybe pick cars. Okay. Graphic. Let's try and play that and see how the Wi-Fi is. Oh, yeah. There are movies playing. So how much work is it to actually build that add-on? Not very much, I would say. Is the text readable? Yep, good. Here we have, this is just a static content for the demo. This would probably be grabbed from some sort of API. Right, so we'll go to the bottom here. Our add-ons start with the main function, and they get passed parameters as a command line application would. So here we have, we can do a listing, we can do a play, or list videos, list categories, and play. We see the play video above there. It's two lines of code. We specify the list item that we have in the view, and we call our API to actually start the playback. Going back up, if we start with the list categories here, it's not a lot of code that you need to write. Now, this is maybe not the prettiest code. I tried to squeeze it down to make it easier to read. But we grab our list of videos and we iterate through those, adding list items to the UI, like you would in a normal Windows application. And then we give the list items a URL and an action to tell Kodi what would happen if you click on it. So if you click on a category, we do the action listing, which then calls the list videos. Okay, and list videos is basically the same as list categories. We set a few different properties. We set another action that we should actually play the video. And that's about all the code that's needed for that video playback application. So we're about, 100 lines of code to extend Kodi with your own videos, or pictures, or music, whatever you like, really. So how does this work with the desktop bridge, you might say? How would you install this? And that's fairly simple. Let's see if we can uninstall this. No. Right, I need to find my settings. This is what happens when you try to do something live. Let's get confused. Right. My add-ons. So we'll uninstall that. So that's gone. Okay. Right, so we have an add-on repository with a lot of add-ons you can install. But if you want to test it yourself, install from zip file is usually the simplest way. So I should have the zip file. Here we go. This is just a zip file of the folder we were working on. So we'll pick that. We get a notification that it's installed, and let's try to go back. And there we have it. So there's only thing needed is provide an XML with some information about the add-on, and one file of Python is enough. And off you go, hopefully. Right. Let's see. That's probably it for that. Right. We have seen some unexpected use cases, which are quite fun, actually. The first link here is a person in the UK who figured out that he can use Kodi for his office monitoring dashboards. So he uses the Jenkins build system to control Kodi through the API to use our CEC ability to turn on and off his monitoring dashboards, push new stuff to the dashboards, and so on. It's quite an interesting read and not something I would have thought of doing. And then the next link is another developer, not on our team, but he figured out how he he wrote a small binary extensions to our Python API, which he then uses to call into the CLR so he can run his add-ons written in C#. So that was also quite unexpected to see, but we like it. That's why we have the add-ons. We want to see people doing amazing things with it. Right, so where to find us? Kodi.tv is the main website. If you're a developer, which I assume you are, GitHub xbmc/xbmc is a good place to start looking. We are available on Twitter at KodiTV. Currently our Windows team is 3 developers. We have Anton doing rendering and DirectX, and he's sitting right over there. So if you have any video playback, rendering, any questions of that sort, that's the guy you want to talk to. And then our newest member, Lucas Rechberger, he's been focusing on fixing our build system, porting the application to run on 64-bit, which has been a long time coming. But the big issue has been the third-party libraries that we rely on. It's quite a lot of work getting all of them working correctly. And then there's me, Paxi. I do a little bit of everything. I like focusing on the store, the Windows API, third-party libraries, code quality, anything that needs doing, really. So, we're open source. I did mention that, I think. We're hoping that maybe one of the demos sparked some interest. So if you want to contribute or you're just interested and have questions, please reach out to me. You have my email there, and we'd love to have you, no matter how small of a thing you want to do. Maybe you have an issue that's nagging you. Maybe you want to add a feature. Just reach out to me, and I'll help you get started and help you get productive. So that's all for me today, I think. Oh, right. fill out the survey. Please let me know how it went. But don't just forget about the first slide that I sort of messed up. Okay. Thank you all.